Can you hear that Rocky Mountain water as it thunders coming down to wash you away? You can't hold back the rising tide, and you can't stop the chain that's rolling down the track. You can't stop the chain that's rolling down the track.
Welcome to Southpaws, episode 380. Oh Lord, there's tapes. I'm Savrin.
I'm Puzzle.
And I'm Shiva. And it's been so long since our last...
I know, right? We totally just didn't record the previous episode's intro and then immediately stop and save and make a new file.
You're ruining the magic.
Anyways, yeah, we're still recording, and man, it has been an interesting couple weeks. We talked about HavenCon on the previous episode, previous recording, and now we're going to talk about FWA. And we're going to talk about some other wild-ass shit that's been happening in the world of politics that has been just crazy to observe. Mm. Let's start things out. We just got back from Furry Weekend Atlanta, a convention that I've been attending since 2007. And, well, it was an event.
Well, you want me to do mine?
Oh, yeah, Fuzz. Your intro before I go into my spiel.
So, I have a brief con report because I wasn't there. So all I can say is that Tirit and Savard went and sold for Planet stuff, and we had three tables, and we had stock of Soap Wolf and Weasel Press stuff came in, and like, man, they brought like 10 copies of that hardcover Waterways out there and sold them all, so that's pretty awesome.
Yeah, we sold out on Saturday, I think.
Wow. Sales were up a little bit over last year. So that's nice. It's sort of middle of the road for our COD dealership. It's not but at higher ed CODs, but it's pretty good, and I'm glad that sales rose, and that's it. Now over to you, Savrin.
Okay. So we were going to possibly drive out Wednesday night and get 4 hours on the road, stay in Shreveport or whatever, and then get back on the road rest of the day. Didn't quite work out that way.
Oh, let me tell you about that right
now. Okay.
Okay. Sorry to interrupt you. So, like, Tyrion gets everything done at about, like, 10:30 at night. And, like, he had asked me, like, you know, should I drive, like, 3 hours tonight and then do the rest tomorrow? Or should I do it all in one shot tomorrow? And I'm like, I mean, either of those work, but doing it all in one shot is usually pretty exhausting because it's like 14 hours. He's like, it's 12 hours. And I was like, it's almost 14 when I do it. And he's like, well, that's because you drive slow and rah, rah, rah. And like, yeah, we'll find out how long it actually took. It's like, and he doesn't listen to the show, so I could be like, I'm right.
It was 13 and a half.
Yeah, exactly. So, so he leaves. And then 20 minutes later, he comes back in and says, don't ever let me do that again. And I was like, what? I thought your plan was a good one. He's like, we're not as young as we used to be. We do not need to be hitting the road at 10:30 at night. And I was like, okay, hon. You know, whatever. It's all good. So he planned to wake up super early Thursday morning. So it was just amusing to me that he was gone for 20 minutes, came back in, noodled about at his computer, and then went to bed.
Well, he had talked to me on the phone, and we'd made the decision to drive out the next morning. He brought me my CPAP so I could sleep and be rested in the morning.
So good idea.
We took off about 6 o'clock right on time, got Starbucks to start the morning, and just drove east. It was actually a very nice drive. The roads were really nice and clear. There wasn't a bunch of construction on our way. There weren't any wrecks. It was actually a very easy 950 or so mile drive.
It's like 350, I thought. It's like 1,000. It's like 1,100 miles to Anthrocon.
No, it's like...
It might be like 600 miles to Atlanta.
It's like 900 miles.
Was it?
Yeah.
I could be wrong.
Let's see. From here to the Atlanta, it's 800 miles even.
All right. Fair enough.
Okay. So anyways, very pleasant drive. We got out there at like 8 o'clock or so. We were able to pull up to the dock, not the little loading area there, get our stuff dropped in. They found us on the list. And this is where the first like snag hit. So we got all of our shit on the table and readied up, and I got our stuff up to the room, and Tieran parked the car, and then I went to go get my badge. And the line for registration this year stretched all the way around the interior of that floor, basically. As a vendor, I got the special privilege of sitting in the God level line, which was much shorter, which was still 40 minutes. So I get my badge, and it turns out the badges this year were these god awful little cloth RFID bands. I super do not like these at all. I think the convention should absolutely stop using them immediately. They are non-removable cloth RFID things, and you had to wear them all weekend. Now, the weekend prior, we had been to HavenCon, and they had little wristbands. But the little wristbands they had there were the inexpensive, cheap Tyvek ones, like you'd get at a water park or a concert, and were basically waterproof. They're Tyvek plastic. These are cloth and absorbed water, and there is some differentiation.
I just picked yours up, and it's still wet.
It absorbed that much salt. No. it's all salt water. My anger. They had two parts to their IDs, though one of them didn't really matter. So the band is what got you into rooms. They had little boop stations that you had to boop your wrist against to make them boop to let you in. And they gave you these arbitrary ass ID badges which you could fill out. So Fuzz was just handling mine. It's FWA. It indicates that, yes, I'm an 18-plus person. But the notation of Saverin and the dealer badge, well, the dealer ribbon they gave to us in the dealer hall. But everything else was filled out by me. And not a lot of people chose to wear them, which made things slightly more difficult for us as vendors of adult material. There is differentiation between the 18-plus and under 18s. They had red wristbands for the kids. Mm-hmm. But a red wristband is not nearly as visible as a proper-ass badge around your neck, which, you know, that's front and center on your torso and can be worn and shown while in fursuit very easily, whereas these other ones, not so much. So that was a problem.
And we didn't find out until someone replied to Tirid by Twitter on Saturday that the red wristbands denoted minors.
Yeah.
Like, that information was not given to you guys up front.
No. So that was a bit of a frustration on our part. And the fact that the line was, like, 4 or 5 hours long.
Yeah.
There was literally zero benefit for pre-registering this convention this year. Like, normally, pre-reg line, you get in, get your shit, and leave. Right?
Mm-hmm.
But this one, they didn't. There was no pre-prep. Like, they had to individually process the people into the room, boop their thing, and put it on them one at a time. There was no just snagging your bag like we have at Fiesta, where it's like, oh, hey, here's your bag, Saverin. Grab it. It's got my lanyard. It's got my badge. I grab it, walk in, walk out, go to my room. This was an involved-ass process, and they only had so many people to process, and it didn't matter if you'd pre-regged 6 months ago or walked in the door today. You were waiting in this massively long line.
They didn't have, like, a pre-reg line or anything like that?
No.
That's dumb. There
was God level / vendor, and then there was attendee and everybody else. So that was a massive long line. I did get a chance to talk to a couple artists while waiting in line, so that was nice. Hopefully it'll turn into a new product for Planet here in the near term. But it really kind of put Tieran and I on a bad foot to start.
Mm-hmm.
Because we both, like, I was there to temper Tieran in a way this weekend. Because, like, he was super mad because once we finally got the table laid out, we went to go get his badge. And that was another 40-minute wait in line. And I was standing there in line with him talking to him so that he didn't just, like,
explode.
You know, and murder.
So this is after 13 and a half hours of driving and then
2 hours of setup.
Yeah.
And then having to wait in line. Then we actually had to get up to our room, which was another 20 minutes or so wait. FWA does not have any sort of elevator controls. They don't have people monitoring them. They don't have any sort of, like, etiquette thing that I know of. And so it was a real mess. It actually boiled down to Tiern and I deciding, we're going to be clever. There wasn't anybody in the con block staying up on the 40th floor or above. So we would take those express elevators up to 40, go down the stairs. And it's a lot easier to go down 20 floors when you're going down than going up.
Yeah.
And so we'd basically go down a floor, which would put us in the next bank of elevators, which we could take from the top down to the bottom floor that served, go down one more floor, and then we would actually get to the bank that served our set of floors. So getting back to our room still took like another half an hour. So at the end of the night, Tiern was just like, I almost want to just say fuck it, wake up in the morning, pack up the car and leave. And I'm like, well, that's up to you, dude, but let's not. And we didn't.
I'm glad you didn't, because Tiern was the one that talked me out of just coming home the year you and I went and I crashed a car.
Yeah.
And I was so despondent and I was just like, fuck it, let's go home. And I talked to Tiern and he's like, no, because then all of this will have been for nothing. So we finished off the trip.
Yeah. So, you know, we went down there Friday. We vended. It was fine. The annoyance of the wristbands is that they are cloth, and so they absorb moisture. You have to shower with these things on.
So they're wet forever.
So they're wet for a while, which means don't want to get them near the product because we have books. God help you if you're like a right-handed artist and it's on your right hand. You can't work on commissions. There's a lot of little things that I don't think they thought their cunning plan all the way through about. We had a nice dinner with Rukus and Co. on Friday night. Went to this steakhouse place. I had a absolutely delicious pecan salmon. It was this like fancy ass steakhouse called Cut or whatever. It's like a block from the hotel. That was really nice. Then we got back. Tiern went off to some party and I played Mario Kart 8 on my Nintendo Switch because navigating the elevators did not make me want to have to go down and then back up later that evening. Saturday was pretty good. Sales were about the same as Friday. We actually sold through a lot of stuff. We sold through a lot of Kadath's art books. We sold through a lot of Sampikos' art books. We sold through most of the copies we had of the Out of Position series. It was actually really nice. I ran into several people who were listening to the podcast, which was always nice, and a couple people who also were like, oh man, I love your audiobooks of the Out of Position series. I've got them all. And there was one person who only owned physicals of 3, 4, 5 and picked up 1 and 2 from us.
Mm-hmm. Oh, and on a note in that, want to shout out to Kylie. Because Tiern was really, really happy because he told me one of your podcast listeners brought us food and it was like really appreciated.
Oh, yeah.
You guys were starving by then.
It was like 3 o'clock on Friday and we were sufficiently busy that neither one of us could really get away. And Kylie came by and was like, hey, how's it going? I'm like, we're starving. Could we convince you to go to Dairy Queen? And she went and she did. And we had, you know, chicken tenders and fries and soda, and that was fine because it was better than nothing. And
yeah.
You know, it's the whole like, oh, I'm getting a little surly, I need to eat some proper food. We did not have the situation like a Haven Con where I didn't have any caffeine for all day one day and was like about to kill a bitch by the end of it.
Mm-hmm.
Saturday's dinner didn't go so well. We were having dinner with a mutual, Tiern and I, and we ended up with the mutual and then a con staffer and a con volunteer who the conversation turned to the damn badges or the wristbands, and it went really poorly because the official con staffer with the actual con shirt was pretty pro badge, and the other dude was like vehemently pro and just got into it with Tiern and I. I had the realization, this guy is a literal fucking cop. Like, so he was going on about, like, theft of services and shit. The volunteer was, like, a cop from some other jurisdiction. And basically, once I came to the realization, wait a minute, you're an actual, like, law enforcement, you're a fucking cop. And he's like, excuse you? And I just, like, talked to the hand and stopped talking to him. I was like, fuck you. Because he was going on about, oh, the con needs to be draconian about the fucking ghosting and furries that show up to the con and only go in the common area are committing theft of services because they're not buying registrations and shit. And it was just the most head-ass, draconian, authoritarian bullshit take. And it didn't surprise me a bit that the guy was actually a cop.
And this is also, he's talking to not just staff of another con, but, you know, board level.
And a former con chair.
Yeah, it's like, it's,
you know.
It's like,
I've only been doing the board thing for a decade and chaired my own convention for 5 years. I don't know what I'm talking about.
Tyrion's vended it. I don't know how many cons at this point.
Yeah.
Probably like 50 or 70.
But
or something.
Basically, once it was finally prudent to do so, I was like, I have to go. Slammed my empty cup down and just bailed. And I ran into Tyrion later and he was like, please don't let me do that again. Please don't let me get into it with someone like that. I was like, yeah, I bailed out of once I figured out he was a cop. It was very unpleasant. It did not put a good ending. But it was nice, though. Later in the evening, we were both really fucking riled up about this.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, look, I have my Apple Watch, and it has the fitness tracker, and I needed to burn like 200 calories and get some fucking exercise in to close my rings. So what I did is I grabbed my headphones, grabbed my phone, and I started walking. I started on the 20th floor. I would walk a loop around the hotel, go down the floor, walk the loop around the exterior of the hotel. And I did this until I reached the bottom floor of the hotel. And then I went to the video game room. Yeah. Except it was like, you know, loop, stairs. And I was on the 20th floor. And I did this all the way down. And by the end of it, I was like feeling better. I listened to about an hour of a podcast. Then it was nice. I ran into the former con chairs of BronyCon there. And we got to talk hot shit. It was fun. Got to see Sonic Fox beat the tar out of people at Dragon Ball FighterZ while
in
fursuit.
Why am I not surprised?
It was really cool.
I think I remember if it was you that tweeted or you retweeted that picture of Sonic in the game room like, yeah, all these other players are in for a bad time.
Yeah, it was like he's gonna clown on these guys while in fursuit. So that was really cool to see. You know, it's nice to see one of the good ones, one of the good gamers out there, you know, being a normal ass furry and having a good time.
Even though I'm not into gaming, I really kind of dig that, like, one of the top tier, like, competitive gamers is openly a furry in the gaming space.
He's a black gay furry.
Yeah.
It's great.
That's awesome. And like they put his fursona on all the official art.
It's
and everything.
Great. So that actually worked out pretty good. And then Sunday was just, you know, wrapping it up, selling through the rest of what we got. I actually got to go to Fogo to Show for the first time, which was delicious and very expensive.
Mm-hmm.
We had a bit of a snafu there. Tyrion thought he had a gift card for $100. The gift card didn't work. But that's, you know, that's something for Tyrion to discuss between the person that gave him the card and whatnot.
He had intended to, like most cons, we have like one nice dinner rather than just, you know, random fast food or this or that or whatever. So he's like, okay, Friday night, went to the steakhouse because Rufus invited you guys. And he's like, okay, we'll make this my one expensive thing. And then Rufus was like, come to Fogo with us, you know, and, like, meet her family and stuff like that. Guys really wanted to do that. He's like, I have this gift card. And then ended up that also being another expensive meal. And I was like, well, I know it wasn't on your gift card because I saw the $130 Fogo de Chao on the card.
Yeah, I was just like, holy shit. I mean, I was glad for it. It was very good. And it was also really cute. Rukus's mom and dad are really cute in the way that they're like super like, oh, our daughter's so skilled and cool. We love her. She's so good. And she was like, she was talking to Tyrion. I was like, oh, it's so cool that you enable her and let her spread her art to the world. And like, cause she wanted a copy of all the books, aww, all the stuff that had her cover. Like
Feral, you said.
Yeah.
Because Rukus did the cover for that.
She was like, oh, why don't you have a story in here? And she was like, I'm not going to explain. It's like, why don't I have a story in the short story anthology about, you know, feral furries and, like, human chicks and dragons fucking? You know. But anyways, that was a very nice dinner. Then basically we went back to the hotel. I decided that I was completely checked the fuck out from the convention. Plus, I'd already cut my band off, which, you know, if you cut it off, you can't go into anything. Go, you know, fuck that noise. So I played Mario Kart 8 a bunch. That is, so to wrap up in conclusion, Mario Kart 8 Deluxe on the Nintendo Switch is really good. Mm-hmm. It's a lot of fun.
And fuck wristbands.
The drive home was perfectly fine. I drove for a bit. He drove for a bit. And we made it home before midnight. And we all got to sleep in our own bed with our own dudes. And in my case, my dog. Mm-hmm. Adam super missed me. Mm-hmm. He didn't let me out of his sight for the next day or so.
No.
He was just like, I'm going to keep an eye on you because you left for like 5 days. And that's forever to a puppy.
That's after being gone the weekend before.
Yeah. He's coming up on being two. But mm-hmm. yeah, he's still a pupper.
You left for like an eighth of my life.
I know. Beyond that, so to segue into the next section, we listen to a lot of podcasts on the road. So this is sort of political. So we listened to the Thursday-ish MSNBC podcast, and it's all Scott Pruitt. Mm-hmm. The EPA fuckstick who is spending money as fast as he can and being just nakedly corrupt in the process. And
like first-class flights everywhere.
And like, oh, we went to Paris. Oh, we went to Morocco. Oh, we went to this. It's just, this guy is among the worst. Like, the worst person for the job is the one that they have right now in our government, and it fucking sucks.
That's pretty much true for most positions. I mean, Betsy DeVos is certainly the worst person to be the Secretary of Education.
And Ben Carson for HUD, and
Rick Perry, who thought he was going to be traveling the world extolling the virtues of Texas oil. And it's like, no, you're guarding the nukes, dude.
You know, honestly, he wasn't that great of a governor. Mm-hmm. I mean, we haven't really had a great governor in Texas in a while, but
he hasn't really.
We haven't heard shit about him.
Right.
Yeah. Because he realized the severity of his job and he's like, oh shit, we haven't heard anything about him in months.
It's been really interesting, like, not hearing about Rick Perry in the news at all.
It's like, you were this total fuckstick that we heard about all the time in Texas, but you get put into a guarding the nukes and you're like, oh dear. Mm-hmm. I must make
this. I better put on my clever glasses.
And my big boy pants. So we're kind of inoculated from anything over the weekend. But then Sunday comes, or Monday, and we're listening to the Monday shows. And it's like, holy shit. The raids at Cohen's office. Holy shit.
Mm-hmm. Now, for those that don't know, Cohen is one of Trump's personal lawyers.
Has been a fixer for him for 20 goddamn years.
Is this the guy that was, like, to paid off Stormy Daniels?
Yeah.
Okay.
So, this is the guy that paid off Stormy Daniels. This is the guy that, like, has done infinite amounts of shady shit. And the courts in the state of New York referred them...
Mueller.
Yeah. Referred... They're like, yo, there's some criminal shit going on here. And then the state attorney goes, yeah, there's some shit going on here. And they simultaneously raided, like, his office, his house, his hotel, his underwear drawer, his everything.
So here's the thing. What's interesting about this is that there's actually two more people involved in this process. Because, like, Trump's trying to say it's a witch hunt and it's all the Democrats doing and stuff like that. So Mueller is an old school Republican. He hands his information off to the Deputy Attorney General because Attorney General Sessions has recused himself from this investigation, which is the correct move. And I don't say much positive about AG Sessions very much, but he actually did the right ethical thing in recusing himself from the investigation, because he's a fucking attorney.
Yeah.
He knows better. So Mueller takes the information to the deputy AG.
Rosenstein.
Who is also a Republican. The deputy AG says, yeah, there's some shit here. Hands it off to a New York state attorney who says, yeah, there's some shit here. Takes it to a New York judge who then issues the orders to raid Cohen's offices. So you're talking, it wasn't just like Mueller said himself,
get him,
I'm going to fuck over Trump, go get him. Like, this had to go through three different people before it got to the judge. It is extremely rare to raid an attorney's office because of their position in the legal system. They have other clients. There's a lot of, you know, and they have this thing they were discussing on The Daily Show. The name sounds funny, so all of our 12-year-old listeners and us can have a snicker. It's called the Taint Team. And it's basically, it's to do with the tainting of evidence. So you have this whole other team that has to basically look at all of Cohen's shit and be like, okay, the government can look at all of this stuff that is relating to their investigation. They can't look at all of this other shit that is uninvolved because attorney-client privilege still applies in that area.
Yeah, it's like if you had clients that were completely unrelated to the matter at hand.
Right. But attorney-client privilege goes away if the attorney and the client are doing criminal acts together. So they separate all that out. But like the standards for a judge to okay raiding an attorney's offices and everything are really high.
And not only that, it wasn't just the office, it was his house and his hotel room. And like they took his fucking phone. They no-knocked it too, because they were like, this guy will try to DFE and get rid of all this evidence, so we gotta hit him at like 5 a.m. It was like when they raided Manafort, the only reason, the first time he knew that the FBI was there is when they knocked on his bedroom door and took his phone.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So this is a similar situation. And it came out today that homeboy Cohen made recordings. He would record conversations that he had because New York is a single-party consent state.
And if you're dealing with shady people, and that's the kind of attorney that you are, yeah, I could totally see him keeping some blackmail material and recording everything, because he's going to CYA.
Yeah.
You know?
And in this case, they got all his shit. And so there was a post in the Washington Post. It was like, yeah, Trump's aides are now extremely worried that this guy was known for making recordings, and now they're all in the hands of the government. All of the anything that he has that the taint team deems interesting, it's going to be very interesting for him.
Yeah.
It's really a scary, wild time, because you've got all this pressure mounting, and you know, you've got fucking Trump out there threatening World War III over Syria, waving his dick at Russia, which makes no sense given him. Like, Russia has been advising their people, hey, you know, this is what you should do in event of a nuclear war. And it's like, what? That's not good. Mm. And of course, Russia's been testing their new, this is not a joke, Satan II missile that they were showing off. We've got this crazy shit going on here, and you really could expect Trump to wag the dog and, you know, pull a Granada to try to divert from this. I mean, it won't. I mean, it might divert the local consciousness, because holy shit, this motherfucker launched missiles at Damascus. But that would be really bad, and that still wouldn't stop things at home, but it would distract the news media briefly. It's very interesting time to be like alive.
It's the old Chinese curse. You live in interesting times.
It's kind of frightening and worrisome to go with interesting.
Yeah, it's, you know, there's very little that we as three individuals in Texas can really do. We're just kind of,
I will use my British understatement gift and say it's a bit concerning.
Yeah.
Nuclear war? It's a bit concerning.
A bit of a bother.
A bit of a bother. Yeah. There's some troubles in Syria.
I don't think we can solve this one with a cuppa.
Yeah, no.
This is, I'm going to quote Sherlock Holmes, this is a three-pipe problem.
Nice. So it's been interesting seeing this. And then, of course, that also came out today that Donald Trump was, like, obsessed with about the P-tape, and was trying to get the FBI to prove it didn't exist. And I'm like, you wouldn't give a shit if it didn't actually exist.
Yeah.
So, the P-tape is real, y'all. The recordings with the lawyer, they're real. Mm-hmm. It's only a matter of time before we see the most cursed video ever of President Poobrain jerking his little Cheeto to a couple Russian hookers pissing on a bed. And I'm sorry I put that image into your mind.
No.
But, you know, putting that image in people's mind, you're pre-gaming them for when
inevitably it does come out.
Yeah.
It'll be like the Hulk Hogan tape, except more geopolitically problematic. And then, of course, people are like, well, why are you assuming they're female hookers. I mean, if you're wanting someone to pee on a bed, you want somebody that can aim easier, right? It's like, God.
I was assuming they're standing on the bed.
But... Yeah, I would assume that too, but you never fucking know. I mean, this is... Man, and then like today there was something about a fucking love child between Trump and a fucking housekeeper of his. He pulled a fucking Schwarzenegger there.
I hadn't heard of this.
It's so, he has another fucking kid? Yeah, that's the thing. So we were having... Tyr and I were having this conversation. I think we had this conversation too about how... that we had it over pizza. About how... It's going to be so fucking impossible to keep fucking pace with just the nonsense and bullshit that happened with this misbegotten presidency.
Yeah.
Once everything wraps up. You know, you have presidential scholars that like, oh, this person studies all of Nixon's bullshit.
Yeah.
This person studies all of, you know, Ford and Bush, and there's probably Clinton, and then all the prior ones. There's people that focus on Lincoln, I'm sure. And it's, you know, completely valid field of study, and they go deep dives into, like, the policy implications of the shit they did, because we don't get to learn about that unless we take, like, a specific-ass course. You know, for as far as I know, American history ends in 1964 in high schools today, basically. Oh, the civil rights movement happened, and everything's been hunky-dory since, you know, because we don't get to learn about Nixon and Ford and et al. And all that nonsense. Generally, until you're taking like college courses where it's like American History Part 1, American History Part 2. Mm-hmm. And even then, those books don't go up to like necessarily the modern era all the way. So, like, it's going to be wild just the sheer amount of bullshit that modern, that, you know, future scholars, provided we don't all die in a nuclear fireball, will get to have to sift through.
And if you're an Oklahoma school child, you're left wondering, boy, I wonder how this Cold War will work out. And because your textbooks are 30 years old.
The internet, y'all.
Yeah.
Speaking of that, though, the teacher strikes that have been happening around the country have been very good. So West Virginia, Kentucky,
Arizona,
Oklahoma, Arizona, a number of states where people have realized that, you know, united we bargain, alone we beg, I think it is. Mm-hmm. State-level DSA was selling shirts for that.
So the teachers are seizing the means of education?
Yeah, because they were saying, like, look, we need the money for us, but we also need the money for our classrooms. And the photos of the textbooks that are from are fucking ancient. And people are like, oh, what's an English book from 1981? That, I mean, English hasn't changed all that much. Oh, yeah, it has. A lot. The core structure is still there. But even
yeah, then, like, I mean, the word YOLO isn't going to be in a book that old.
Yeah, and like the concept of
actually a YOLO isn't really exist anymore. But you know.
I mean, they're not going to have a dialectal deconstruction of the word Beesturger, and that's important words you need to know.
Wait, and what was that?
A dialectical deconstruction of the word Beesturger.
What's Beesturger?
I'll explain later, Fuzz.
Oh my god.
It's a nonsense word.
Is this a current meme or is this like 10 years old? Like,
it's a semi-current meme. It's okay. When you have like two meat patties with cheese and a slice of bread in the middle.
Yeah.
It's just a silly visual image.
Oh, okay.
And then they have quangry, which is queer and angry.
Yes, I saw you use that. I actually thought you made that up.
Bob did, actually.
Oh, okay.
I was like, current status, and I got this pin at, it was like a $1 button at FWA that was like queer and angry with the bi flag on it.
Oh, that's right. And then Bob replied to you, quangry.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But anyways, so it's been cool to see like the teachers going, holy shit, yeah, we should do this too. They're getting most of basically everything they want. Because the biggest thing for the teachers, you know, in addition to, yo, we can't live off of this, is they also didn't have allotments for, like, school supplies.
Yeah.
The fact that the teachers are having to pay for fucking school supplies themselves.
Oh, they've always had to do that. It's just gotten, and this was something Pepper was talking about on Twitter. For those who don't know, Pepper is a teacher. He has tweeted about this. He's tweeted links. But basically, they've been asked to do more with less. And they've been squeezing as much out of the budget as they could and putting their personal funds into it more and more. And people just expect teachers to do that. And it's just kind of slid gradually worse. Like, now they've hit a tipping point. Like, there's only so much they can do without the actual support of the government that's supposed to be funding education.
Yeah. Like, it's ridiculous because people are like, oh, you know, what about, shouldn't X amount of money they give you be enough to buy your stuff? And it's like, well, not for a classroom full of students, you know.
And people blaming the kids, like the pile of tore up looking textbooks. They're like, well, those kids should have kept better care of them. People are just so full of shit.
Yeah. Like, don't put it on the kids.
There's only so many years of fucking textbook.
Yeah, and again, English, but the other ones where it's like, oh, it's a social studies book from 1976. And they mention, like, in the future, things like computers might be available in the home. Mm-hmm. You know, there's this thing that the government's working on called the internet.
And there was this tweet that was, like, supposed to be like a happy tweet, and then people are like, wait a minute, that's fucked up. This little girl who got a textbook in Oklahoma, and it was like, girl discovers that she has textbook once used by Blake Shelton, who I had to Google. He is apparently a musician of some kind.
Country musician, I think.
Christ, I'm old. And
damn kids.
And then the person that quote tweeted it was like, Blake Shelton's 41 years old. And then you're like, wait a minute, how old is this fucking textbook? And he had used it in like school year 81 to 82 or something like that. And
this is like a 30-year-old.
This little kid like got it this school term.
It's like, wow, how cool is... No, that's not cool at all, actually. That's not cool
at all, no.
It doesn't matter if it's what it is. No book should be that old and used in active education. Unless it's like... a classic. And even then, you know, do we really need to read Great Expectations? Charles Dickens, not that great. I have some bad memories of that book. It was awful. Oh, awful.
I have not read
that one. I will die on this hill. Charles Dickens was not actually that great.
Well, it was, you know, I heard an interesting conversation about this the other day, that apparently, one of the ways that writing has changed over the years is that back in the day, people had more time to read because there wasn't all this other shit like competing for your attention, right? Okay. So what are you going to do when you don't have a radio, you don't have a TV?
Watch public hangings.
Right. Yeah, of course. But they're talking about, I know what it was. It was, I believe it might have been on an episode of Last Podcast on the Left, but they're talking about apparently a guy that wrote Les Miserables, the book goes on this whole tangent about some political thing that he was obsessed with at the time, and then rounds back around to like the main characters. And this was perfectly acceptable at the time because you're just devoting a lot of time to reading. And no, maybe it wasn't on LPN.
No.
Maybe it was one of my writing or publishing podcasts that I listened to. And that nowadays, people need to be a little more concise.
It's like, get to the fucking point.
I also wonder if it's also, like, the demographic of readers. Because at the time of Dickens and Les Miserables, people are going to be reading are going to be the more well-to-do.
Gentlemen of leisure.
Yeah, they have to be literate, for one.
They're going to be, just by the nature of being more upper class, you're going to have more free time. You know, lower class, you tend to work a lot more hours, a lot more days, you know, and when you get home, you're not going to have the clearest reading light to be able to do that. I mean...
Yeah. Also, from what I understand, like, books like Great Expectations were originally serialized, and they're very bulky and wordy because he's paid by the word, and he's being paid to release, like, a chapter a week or something like that. I don't remember the exact things of it. And then it's put together as a full novel later.
Again, this is not one of those, like, let's engage in discourse, but I'm just like, man, I had to read those in school, and I didn't like them one bit.
Oh, you know, I have actually fond memories of two or three stories that I read in school as part of English class that actually stuck with me. But in general, like, a lot of stuff you're forced to read, you're not going to like. But,
that's true.
Yeah.
I will say, when we were doing the one that absolutely that lit everybody on fire to the point that where my senior class decided we have to actually perform this, is Oscar Wilde. the importance of being earnest. I mean, we laughed our asses off. We enjoyed that that play immensely, to the point where we decided, let's put on this fucking play, and did it. And it was great. That's cool. But we loved that, you know, that particular book. And there's very few where I can say where it actually lit a fire underneath people's, you know, loved. And most of the time it was dry and boring, and I didn't agree with all of some of the dissertations, like, the woman's dress is blue because blah, blah, blah. And it's like, the woman's dress is blue because it's blue. You know, it doesn't actually symbolize. Right.
Yeah, there's been a lot of discussion about that, too, like when you're deconstructing shit from an author who is, like, long dead or something like that, that, like, they'll put all this extra meaning into stuff and like, oh, you know, Fitzgerald was saying this in The Great Gatsby. And it's like, no, the goddamn curtains were blue or whatever. I discovered my enjoyment of Sherlock Holmes stories, actually, because of a junior high textbook that they had a short. One of the shorts was in this textbook. And what our teacher did was we read the story and then we watched the episode of the Jeremy Brett Sherlock Holmes that was that story. And so part of our, it's weird, this is like something about this one class I remember. And then we had a discussion about like the differences between, you know, the original text and how they had to adapt it for television and stuff like that. And that actually stuck in my head. And that's when I started like checking out Sherlock Holmes books from the junior high library. So like, yeah, like teachers are very fucking important. Like, you know, they'll do shit like that that will like stay with you your whole life, or like start you reading and things like that. And like, we need to not fuck these people over. They really need to be paid more. And even with the pay raises they're talking about, it's not a lot. You know, being a teacher is not a high-end job at all. Like, even if you like the fact that like I'd seen a couple teachers talking about paying their student loans just seems bizarre to me that you would have someone teaching 5 or 10 years for a barely living wage and they would have student loans.
Well, I guess if you're a teacher, there's a lot of like forgiveness programs too.
In some cases, you teach for 5 years, they, you know, they'll forgive your shit, or 10 years. I'm gonna look this up because Dallas County doesn't actually pay their teachers that well.
Yeah,
no, Dallas doesn't. But some of the other outliers do.
Plano and Carrollton Farmers Branch and Rockwall probably. Shit. Does.
Lake, Frisco.
Yeah.
But Dallas School District is not great.
According to this, like, the salary range for Dallas ISD teachers ranges from 50 to 90K, but that's inclusive of benefits. So your actual pay will be lower than that.
Yeah. You're probably talking about 30, 35 on the lower.
30, you know, 35, 50, 35, 60. Mm-hmm. And then of course, you know, got to buy all your shit. Oh, and you also have to do your developmental stuff and et cetera, et cetera. Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's a lot of stuff, and you see these billboards around. It's like, teach. It's cool to teach, and it's like, it needs to be cool to teach. It needs to be a good thing, but teachers need to be paid a fuckload more and be given proper support from the state government in terms of funding, because we don't need, like, this is one of those big bugaboos that I have, is sports. Like, we don't need multi-million-dollar high school fucking stadiums and coaches getting paid $120,000 while the chemistry teacher has to go mail order their own goddamn chemicals from the internet. So that's a major issue of disparity here in Texas. Like, there are certain schools, districts that are like, oh yeah, we got football, woo. That's benefiting like 30 to 50 people when everybody has to take chemistry, you know? It's bullshit. Yeah, sports needs funding, but the rest of the school needs funding more.
Well, and like the other side that I've heard from that is people saying that, you know, if you have a good football team, then that brings like sponsors in and stuff like that for the college level. They'll get like people donating a building and shit like that. But that's also become really, that may have been true 60 years ago.
Well, a lot of that money just goes back into the sports program.
Exactly. It's become really unbalanced and they're no longer getting the benefit to the other areas that they used to.
So, like, the median annual public school teacher salary in Dallas, Texas is $54,000 as of March 29th, 2018, with a range usually between $47,000 to $63,000, not inclusive of bonus and benefit information and other factors that impact base pay. So, yeah, $52,000, but then you have to live in Dallas proper. Again, that's not nearly enough, I don't think. Like, teachers, considering their importance in the average kid's life, really should be paid a lot more. And you know how we solve that? By taxing the fucking rich and making corporations pay their fucking taxes. You know, very radical ideas.
Yeah. And another 10 cents per gallon on a gas tax. I mean,
That one's pretty regressive.
Yeah, because that is going to affect the poorer middle class people way more than the rich. Anything that's like a sales tax, it's like... Mm-hmm. You know, the rich person doesn't notice if their gallon of milk goes up by a quarter. But the single mother of two does.
So Oklahoma also got in trouble. I don't know if you guys saw. So they, like Texas, use the money from the lottery. And it's supposed to actually top up the allocated funds. So Oklahoma has to pay back $10 million. Because what they did is they put the money from the lottery into the school budget and then took $10 million out. So it was, I think, I'm trying to remember the actual proper term for it, but
being an asshole.
Yeah. So instead of adding to the program, they actually just drained, you know, they said, oh, well, the budget was blah, blah, blah. We can just take that $10 million out and go use it for I don't know what else. So they basically got caught dipping into something that they shouldn't. Mm-hmm. And now they have to pay back the money.
Wow.
Yeah, because it was supposed to add to it, not be used in place of funding.
I hadn't heard that piece of news. That's pretty fucked up.
And again, it's just one of those things that's so fucking impossible to keep up.
Yeah.
Like, you only see what's going on in your particular Twitter sphere at a given time. Mm-hmm. I mean, obviously, you know, staying politically aware is important. And, like, you know, there's been fandom stuff kicking off, but it's been mainly, you know, the same usual bullshit suspects being bullshit suspects. So I'm not even going to go into that.
Uh-huh.
But, yeah, it's just, like, all this nonsense. And, like, what's going on in Texas? Honestly, I don't know. At this right point, like, I know that there isn't a teacher strike going on yet. But give him time. Oh, hello, Bo. Hi, buddy. Hi. He comes running in and immediately, like, puts his legs in my lap. Like, hi. I'm one of his favorite people.
I know.
moving on. Other than that, it's just, like, staying alive. You know, I'm exercising and going to the gym and hanging with my friends and trying to live the best life possible. Mm-hmm. It's like, and hoping that with the realization, well, you know, we're not Austin. We're still a major city. We could be a nuclear target. I don't have the mental bandwidth to worry about that. I'm gonna, you know, do my shit.
Yeah.
In other news, I beat Zelda. Shifting from, like, end of our world to the end of the Legend of Zelda, of the end of Hyrule.
That's quite the tangent, Savern.
Well, I mean, what else did we wish to confer further on the
It was just a hell of a tangent.
I have video game news to add to the discussion.
No, yeah, that's true.
The world must be ending.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, yeah, totally. And the news that I was going to say is that Night in the Woods won the BAFTA.
Yeah.
Oh, cool.
So they won a Independent Gaming Award, best game thing, and they won one, the, like, best BAFTA writing for Night in the Woods as well.
Yeah, and they're BAFTA is often, like, the British version of the Oscars or the Emmys, so...
It's a big deal.
It actually is a big deal, yeah.
And, like, it's been funny seeing Scott Benson Twitter. He's like, BAFTA, BARFTA, BAFTA, oh my god. He's, like, very excited.
Yeah.
It's really a great game, and... Like, it totally deserves to the accolades it's getting. Mm-hmm. And it's really neat to see what was done by a very small team, like
Yeah.
Scott and his wife and a couple other folks become like this massively award-winning title. So that was exciting. That came out today.
Yeah.
And it's good to see good games get recognition.
Yep.
But back to my little tangent. Legend of Zelda is an extremely good game. I think I've talked about it a number of times. I beat it in about 80 hours, the vast majority of which were streamed. I beat it last night. I did all 120 shrines and kicked Ganon's ass. Mm-hmm. It was really cool. Feel free to go check out the VOD while it's still up. It's only like a 2.5 hour VOD of me finishing the final four and then infiltrating Hyrule Castle and going and kicking Ganon's ass.
Where can they find that VOD?
Twitch.tv/Saverin. You can see it like the last 6 months or so, which is nice because I've only been picked streaming back up in the past 2 months. So every last one of my VODs is available right now. Nice. You can watch all 80-ish hours of Legend of Zelda and then a further like 16-ish of Bloodborne.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to be moving on to doing the Katamari series briefly. And then probably doing Mario, or I might do Wolfenstein 2 to get some Nazi killing done.
Yeah.
But, like, it's really kind of cool how, like, even the, you know, quest completion notifications are incorporated in the story. Because, like, right after you get you do the first four shrines, you get the paraglider and can leave the plateau, you get the quest Destroy Ganon, and it just sits at the top of your quest log for however long you play. And when you finally do kill Ganon, like you do the final boss's final form, which is actually kind of a joke, Zelda pops out, does her magical bullshit, and then like vaporizes him with her magic. The screen goes white, and at the bottom, the defeat Ganon complete pops up, and it's just like, it's just that one last little bit. Like, not only did you win the game, you also get like the little check off on your fucking quest log of this quest that's been there since the beginning. And because I did all the memories, I got like the best, absolute possible best ending. It was great. That was a lot of fun. I actually had to resist playing it while on the trip to FWA because I wanted to finish it up off on stream.
Nice.
What else do you guys got? I've been talking a lot. I'm sorry.
I don't have a lot, to be honest. Life is life, you know. I've added a bunch more books to both Bad Dog Books and for Planet. We're now selling ebooks for both of Weasel Press's imprints, which is Weasel Press and Red Ferret Press. And we're also now selling ebooks of Thurston Howell Productions, and we're also added ebooks for Jaffa and another Jaffa Books and another one from Goal Publications. So if you go to baddogbooks.com, there's like a bunch of new ebooks available there. And we're also carrying several of those books on the For Planet side in print as well, and I'm waiting on more coming in. We also got a massive restock order from Soap Wolf. So a lot of the Soap Wolf titles that we were out of, like Somebody Out of Position books, the Anubis Dark Desires in hard and soft cover, like we've got all those now. We've got Fox and Moore's piano sheet music book, which is pretty cool.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. There was another new thing. We got a Franco Tales of the Last Earth back in stock, which that was a pretty cool one. It's a comic. It was originally published in Argentina, and Soap Wolf had a Kickstarter for it, and they had it translated, and it was like a huge deal. It was like the first like big translated comic from Argentina, so it was like a big thing for the team on that. So we have that in stock. I mean, I'm gonna leave a bunch of people out because we've added a lot of books lately. We're a bit behind on orders at the moment. For that, I apologize. We've just had so much going on. We had two cons in 2 weeks, and I haven't done my taxes yet. They're due next week.
You gotta do mine too.
They're due Tuesday. So basically this weekend is going to be like Fuzz sits down and figures out everything. So that's been weighing on my mind a bit. So I'll try to I need to basically just chug some 5-hour energy and be like, okay, spreadsheets, let's do this. Oh, I traded in my iPad, which is nice. I had that's what counts as big news in my life right now, I guess. I traded in my third gen iPad. I got $80 for it from Apple, and I picked up one of the new 6th gen iPads, which they start out pretty cheap. They're like $329. It's like the base price for the 32 gig Wi-Fi only. So with the trade in, I paid basically like $260 for it. And like it's a lot faster. The usable screen is the exact same size, but the overall size of the tablet is so much smaller because they've been able to shrink down the bezel a lot. It's a lot thinner. It's a lot lighter. Feels pretty good in the hand. So I finally got, like, I subscribed to the Snagglepuss Chronicles comic through Comixology a while back. And, like, they had just been building up in my library and I hadn't read them. So, like, I was like, I'm finally going to read these things. So I caught up on that, which also made me thirsty for like mainstream furry comics. So I also picked up the 2 Autumn Lands trade paperbacks on digital as well. I haven't had any time to read, unfortunately. Like, there's so many good books coming out right now that I want to read, but I've just got so much going on. So I'm able to like sneak in a few comic pages here and there between things. But like, Jeff Newton's new book, The Body Library, came out. I want to read that. Cat Valente just released Space Opera, which is basically Eurovision in space, like a galactic-wide song contest.
That sounds fun.
It's called Space Opera, and it has this super shiny cover with a disco ball, very neon. It's like very cool looking. I also finally have the what is referred to as the Bible of typography. It is the it's like basically a standards typographical guide, and it's like it took like 3-4 weeks to receive. It's like an industry educational kind of textbook, so I guess it has to come from like a special publisher or something. And because it wasn't like direct from Amazon, it was like I didn't know if I was getting like a new copy or a new-ish copy. And I was really happy when it arrived. It was shrink-wrapped. It was completely brand new. But this is me nerding out now, because like I'm like, yay, this book about typography arrived. So I flipped through that a little bit, like to add to my typography skills for my books and stuff like that. So just something that's totally my jam. If you're a typographical nerd, write in. Tell me your favorite font. So that's, you know, a lot of my books are like on the back burner until I get taxes done, and then I have to read stuff for publication. We're already starting to pick up stuff for Anthrocon. In other furry news, I don't know if I talked about this before. I've backed a couple of Kickstarters lately.
Yeah.
Did we talk about this on a previous episode?
Go for it.
Okay, so you may be familiar with the comic Red Lantern, which Rukus is the primary artist on. She's completely drawn both books. Volume 1 had color and background by Electra Fencer. Volume 2, she's working with Myania. And Volume 2, they're going to print with, and they have a Kickstarter up. So look for Red Lantern Conviction on Kickstarter. It's open for like another 10 or 11 days, I believe. And they've got some pretty cool backer rewards. They're doing like a big offset print run for it. And like some of the concept images for it are really quite nice, but they're doing like a lot of little extras for stuff that's in the universe. Like they're making replicas of the coins that they use in the universe.
Mm-hmm. I got one of those.
Oh, okay, cool. Yeah, she had one?
Yeah, well, Rukus had a couple of them and gave one to Tyrion, who then gave it to me.
Oh, okay.
So it's actually in my bag.
Okay, cool. Well, I've backed it, so I'll end up getting one. And they already hit their tier where they're going to be able to do hardcover printing for it as well. So that's nice. But right now they're looking for 300 backers, which they've already met their financial goals, but one of their stretch goals is number of backers. They want to get 300 backers, and then at that point, they'll pay extra to get foil stamping on just a Kickstarter print run, which will be pretty cool, and it will mark those books as, like, separate Kickstarter-only, like, special edition. So that's really cool. There is another one, which, oh, bugger, I've forgotten the name of it, because it's an odd... It's the... Basically, a group of artists has decided that they want to do a magazine, like a furry magazine. It's called Zoeon. You can go to zoeonmedia.com. It's spelled Z-O-I-O-N. And they've got a few artists and writers, and like they want to... So, real quick, it says their concept. Our goal is to create a contemporary... well-designed, image-driven magazine focused on clean, evocative, highly artistic, well-developed, and well-executed anthropomorphic art and themes. And they're going to make this really nice, really well-designed, nice laid-out magazine. And that is also being kickstarted now. And if you go to the website, they've got like the video that basically shows the concept of what they're trying to do and everything. But let me check their... See if I can find a link to their Kickstarter here. They have got a lot of work to do. So their goal is $34,240 for the print run. They're currently only at $2,770. And it's an all-or-nothing project. It's got 16 days to go. I backed it. Because it looked like a cool thing, but that's something I think would be worth checking out also.
Yeah, you've been nerding out about your topography books and all that. It's like, oh, there's a lot of book stuff going on for a planet. And yeah, we totally did end up with like a box of Thurston Howell books. And
which I've already put on the website.
A number of the Weasel Press books too.
Yeah.
People are like, oh, knotted? What is that? It's bondage.
Yeah, it's a BDSM furry anthology.
Yeah, so it's just like, yeah, what's this? It's got a eye catch of a title, and it's got a wolf in, like, shibari rope bondage.
Mm-hmm. And a bulge.
Yep.
Bulge. Ooh-woo.
Ooh-woo, what's this?
Yeah. It's a very evocative cover. It's a book that does what it says on the tin.
Yeah, it's know? Like plowed, or feral, or yeah. Altered states.
Or fucking. We're just going to make a book called Fucking.
Trevor's Tricks.
Okay, yeah.
Fox named Trevor turns tricks. Wow. What a surprise. How about you, Shiva? What's going on?
Mostly just life. Lots and lots of work. Starting to upscale onto early TFF things because my stuff happens earlier on than most other people's except for general registration. Honestly, not a ton. Some boring stuff like I'm pricing and we've been out looking at new cars. Lots and lots of lawn work. For some reason, I have an inexplicable damp spot in my front yard that won't dry up. Oh. And we've been trying to figure out if it's the sprinkler system or if there's a leak from an underground pipe. And so I called the city today and gave them our symptoms. And they said, oh, by the way, did you know Carrollton has this habit of randomly sprouting up springs here and there? I'm like, what? Yeah, they'll just pop up. Be that way for a little while, then whatever crack the water found its way up through will seal up and it'll go its own way. It's like, oh, okay. Huh.
So this is normal.
Yeah, but my front yard is a soggy mess because of it.
Weird. I didn't know that.
I didn't know that either. Hmm. But it also means that I'm going to probably need to dig a trench in my front yard to confirm it's not a pipe, a pipe leaking. And then I have to decide what to do about the swamp that's developing in my front yard. Mm-hmm. It's like, oh shit. So we'll
Yay,
see.
What... House stuff.
Yeah. So it's been a lot of house stuff lately. And other than that, it's just go home, go to work, repeat, do everyday shit that keeps piling up, and then repeat. I mean, last con I went to was HavenCon, so that was a long weekend. And then this past weekend, just home.
Yep.
Upcoming, I've got tickets to go see Pink. That's in the first week of May.
Cool.
Which should be really, really good. But that's my next big thing. Oh, and Siam's birthday is end of next week. So have to do something for him as well. And then I get to be on call.
Woo!
So
Panther had to do that on the weekend of Flaw too.
Well, I have to do that. Like next week, I'm on backup, which means if whoever's primary doesn't pick up, my phone goes off.
Ooh.
And then the week after that, I'm on primary, and good luck to my life because I might get woken up at any time of the night.
I know that feeling. Well, I don't, but Panther certainly does, and I'm impacted by it.
I mean, his wakes you up.
Yep. Okay, we have stopped, we have saved, we have preserved the sanctity of our data, and now we're going to go back into the last little segment, whereupon we read an email. You can email us at southpawscast@gmail.com.
Note the slight hesitate so we don't rattle off our old email address.
I mean, it still technically works, but
I know
it's not our primary.
We're still learning.
On our southpawscast.tumblr.com, send us an on ask if you'd like. We do have one email this week from Regal, and it is his FWA con report. So I will rattle that off real quick. Dear Noemian Southpaws crew, Regal here. Recently, I went to my very first furry convention, FWA 2018, and so I bring you my very first con report from the perspective of someone who's never even seen a full fursuit in person before.
Oh, wow. That's
con virgin.
Yeah.
Wednesday night, I got home to work to find my roommate scrambling to pack, insisting that we need to get to the hotel early so we can check in and get through registration. I quickly slammed down some dinner and joined them, comfortable in the knowledge that they know what they're doing and surely aren't about to head into a convention that hasn't started yet. Cut to a few hours later, we arrive at the hotel and get to check in, only to prove my trust in their sage experience was perhaps premature. Our booking wasn't until Thursday. Thankfully, my roommates are ultra frugal most of the time, so we were able to add the extra day without worry. They covered the room since I very recently moved to Georgia and was still getting the ground beneath my feet financially. At the time, there wasn't a whole lot going on in the lobby besides setup crews frantically moving about clearing out old sets and setting up new ones. As a recently employed conference services attendant at a different high-end hotel, I can commiserate with the sheer amount of work that they're doing. We get our keys, head up to the room, and immediately shenanigans our way into the hotel's Ethernet network with our own router to bypass the signal nightmares to come before poking around to get an idea of the layout of the place. My roommates have both been at the Marriott many times, but I haven't. Thursday, we got up, grabbed food, and made for registration, spotting a great many more fursuiters and other like-minded individuals along the way. As someone who's only seen them in videos and photos, it was neat to finally actually see this sort of thing in person. My roommates will tell you it took 3 hours to get through registration, but in reality it's more like an hour and a half once registration actually opened. We were lucky. We got our con badges and silly theme alignment bracelets, and the actual badges themselves, an NFC-tagged wristband with a clamp tie preventing easy removal and making obvious any sort of tampering. My roommates were just pleased, but I, a con virgin, thought little of it. If nothing else, I get a free NFC tag to play with later. To the kids at home, if you have an Android phone and just still have your badge, that shit's rewritable. Just saying. And that's true. You can do all sorts of fuckery with that badge.
That's one thing that bothered me about these NFC wristbands is that, like, I actually looked them up. Not the specific model, but I was looking at, like, Eventbrite actually has a whole page about, hey, here's why you should use these for your event with some of, like, the top 10 things that they do. And, like, there's all kinds of cool shit. Like, you can put your financial stuff on there, so you can just boop at the con store to pay for con swag. You can put your Twitter ID, you know, your profile information and stuff like that. And, like, I didn't see anyone talking about any of that, so I assumed that FWA didn't do any of that. And no. It was just a boop to get into.
The only thing that it referenced is your user ID in their system.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, the only things like user ID and the serial number on the badge,
mm-hmm.
marking it as valid. That was it.
I would have liked to have seen them. If they do this again, it would be nice because they've got an app and everything. It would be nice if they did more with the NFC functionality.
Yes and no, because they're rewritable, somebody with an antenna could pull some shenanigans. It'd be very easy to, say, overwrite. If you had an antenna, you could rewrite people's badges at range.
Oh, shit.
Or...
Okay. All right, ignore what I just
said. Or pull the data, or... So you could pull the data, rewrite it, clone one, and make it everybody else's. There's a lot of bullshit you could get up to with these NFC badges like this. That's why people have, like, RFID blocking wallets and whatnot.
Yeah.
So just saying that, yes, in theory, it's cool, but in, like, actual practice, if somebody wanted to pull some shenanigans, it would be very simple for them to do so. Moving on with the rest of the email. After registration came more wandering around and seeing the sights. During this time, I first laid eyes on the con mascot, a blue, possibly gelatinous or liquid creature named Fun, whom wished nothing more than to sell me his flavor of Jones Soda, which may or may not be made of them. I have met Fun's creator and applauded him as such an adorable character. He kind of reminds me of a blue liquidy Ori from Ori and the Blind Forest, but less serene and more caffeine. Good turn of phrase there. Needless to say, I've drawn him multiple times during and since the con and have included a photo of one such drawing. Getting back on track, after hitting up the artist alley and dealer's den, we then milled about, hung around with furries, and I met up with folks I'd known for over a decade but have never seen in person, and that was nifty.
That's cool.
Friday rolls around, another day of bouncing from place to place, seeing and hanging out with folks, and otherwise being social. I went down to the dealer's den and met a famous podcaster finnick named Savrin, and someone I assumed to be Tyrion. As a Notcast / Southpaw listener of yore, I employed the dutifully learned tactics necessary to politely greet folks you feel starstruck over. A new feeling for me, to be sure, but I think I handled it well, and even bought some merch made by yet another friend of mine. Hey, Vasuki, if you're listening, Regal says hello. Later on, we hit up the gaming room, where I, on a whim, decided to sign up for Mario Kart 8 tournament to take place later that day. I ended up taking third place in that tournament and won some fun prizes for my efforts. A bottle of Funtanium, Jones Soda, a shot glass I'll only look at because I don't drink, a lanyard, a badge, and some buttons. RNG was not kind to us since we played 4-player Grand Prix mode on hard, but hey, I keep telling everyone that Yoshi is the best and you should always bet on him. It's not my fault if they don't believe me. Yoshi on Yoshi bike for the almost win. Saturday rolls around, we hear about some shenanigans that went on in the lobby of the hotel late last night. Based on video evidence, later disproven via video evidence from a different angle, two furries were having what looked like sex in the lobby. While we were thoroughly amused by the fact that our friend was caught in the video walking past them, turning him into a meme, he was the yellow dog fursuiter in the video, tangential experience has shown me that such things can be very damaging to conventions. Although, thanks to a video from a different angle, it was proven that the alleged sex act was actually just two pups in pup gear wrestling. Not very good optics, but at least nothing outright illegal going on. Yeah, I kind of omitted discussing that because it's just a massive pile of discourse around, like, you know, fetish gear in public places. This was, like, at 4 a.m. in the hotel bottom layer. It was dumb people doing dumb stuff at the wrong place and the wrong time.
Mm-hmm.
That is their own little nightmare that they get to deal with on the convention side of things. And that sucks because that's... I mean, it got mentioned in some UK tabloid. It was pretty wild.
Yeah.
Saturday evening.
Oh, and apparently, like, they had the people who had originally posted the video had told the journalist, no, you can't use my video, but they did anyway.
Yeah, just to make it that much more scummy. I mean, it's a UK tabloid. They're garbage, but still. Saturday evening, we stormed the artist alley and besieged one of the artists with money because she was drawing cute crayon badges and we all wanted one. I think at least 7 of her commissions that night were from our group. She was most pleased. Sunday come, and it's time for me to get ready to bail since I had work the next day. I wandered around getting autographs from folks, collecting commissioned artwork, and generally wrapping things up. Attended a panel or two, packed up my stuff, and went home, only to realize I was mistaken and didn't have to work until Tuesday. Oh well. I'm an introvert and needed to recharge anyway.
Yeah.
All in all, I heard several folks had a bad time, others were overly outraged by the NFC bans. I got mine off with my house keys, get good scrubs, and some folks had more than their fair share of drama. I, on the other hand, had a great time. I only have one data point to look at, so I can't say if it was a good con or not, but I had fun, so fuck it. I'll be back next year with more money and better planning. So ends this wall of text. I hope this report started discussions and tangents and all sorts of stuff, and hopefully gave a more positive perspective on the con. Cheers, Regal T. Boggart.
I'm glad you had fun.
Yeah, I'm glad you got to go to your first con. That sounds fun.
Yeah.
And earlier in the episode, I discussed my feelings on the matter. It was, like, there were some issues that didn't make things super great. But I'm, you know, as a vendor, my perspective is not that of the standard attendee.
Mm-hmm.
So...
And Tyrion said, like, the actual in the dealer's room selling, working the table, everything went fine. Like,
yeah.
They had an... You told me they had an actual real Starbucks in the hotel, so you guys got up, got your Starbucks, went to the table, worked the table, and all that went very smoothly. It sounds like a lot of the stuff around it. There was just a series of unfortunate events that kind of clouded your weekend a bit.
Yeah, it was just like the core of our efforts was fine. The selling, people bought books, there was no booth barnacles. Like, there was a couple folks that came and purchased, like, multiple copies of books for their college furry book club, which is cool as hell.
Yeah, I thought that was really neat. I actually told Kyle about that, because we'd gotten an email that they're starting a college book club at a university, and they wanted to read Mysterious Affair of Giles. So, like, somebody ordered, like, 6 copies of it.
Nice.
So I gave him the heads up. He thought that was really cool.
So... But, go ahead.
Like, the core of what we were doing is just, like, a lot of the stuff peripherally around it clouded the event. That was basically it. Because being in the vendor hall for 8 hours a day is tiring.
It's different.
You know? And there was some fun to be had, but I was also very happy to head home on Monday.
Mm-hmm. Tangenting off that to First Con and New and Shiny. So my sister finally locked, because snow days and everything can throw it off, my sister finally locked down my niece's 8th grade graduation date, and it's the Thursday of ACON, and it's early in the morning. So they're basically going to do her 8th grade graduation, throw in her car, drive her to D.C., and ship her here to Texas. Fun. And then I'm going to take my niece to her first anime con, like full-on anime con. This upcoming, and so do the whole Friday, Saturday, Sunday, provided she wants to keep going back, and she's a little weeaboo, so I can't imagine that she doesn't want to.
Unless she just hits exhaustion. Well, she's young. She won't hit exhaustion.
She's like 13, so yeah. She has like energy for days. And I'm debating talking with Sarah and Siama, see about maybe, just getting a hotel room for, like, Friday to Saturday, or Sunday, Saturday to Sunday, so that we can, you know, just stay out there and then go hit the con the next day without having to drive back and forth to Fort Worth. But yeah, so I'm going to, that whole new shiny of being able to enjoy a con for the first time through, like, new and shiny eyes. I'm kind of looking forward to going to a con.
That sounds like fun.
So she doesn't know yet. And once we book
in... I hope she doesn't listen to the show.
Oh, God, I hope not. So that she doesn't know yet, so I can't say anything to her. So my sister doesn't want to tell her until we bought the tickets, at which point it's going to be, look, we have all this stuff to go do, and watch her kind of go and squee. Because ACON is a mighty beast, and there's a lot of swag there.
Yeah.
It's going to be a hell of a weekend, but dragging that, get her in, like, in and nerdy and watch her go squee and, you know, all over the place. I'm really looking forward to that so much. And I can't wait for my sister to lock in the tickets so I can actually start bouncing at her about it. Because it's almost May, so we're talking early June, like June 7th is when she'll fly out. So there's not a lot of time, and it's going to get to where they're going to post their schedule and all this other stuff. But it's kind of like, I'm going to get to go to ACON. I haven't been this excited about going to ACON for like a decade and a half. So we're all going to go out, and she's going to be here for, at least the plan is like through the 25th or 26th. So 3 weekends. So one will be ACON, and then I'm thinking maybe one weekend, if it's a nice weekend, we'll go out to, like, CARE and go see, you know, the lions and tigers and just drag her all over Texas. I'm debating maybe do 6 Flags, but I think that depends on, like, you know, weather and if it's, like, brutally hot or not, because that's starting to get into the really hot part of Texas.
Yeah.
But also do some stuff around... You know, drag her to anywhere she wants to go oogle stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
And just all the nerd stuff.
For a fun time, take her to the 6th floor museum.
Actually, I think that's closed right now as they're redoing it.
No, it's the Holocaust Museum.
Oh, I thought that they were combining both of them.
No.
They're adjacent, but...
They're adjacent, but you can't... So, the Holocaust Museum is closed because they're building a new one. And they're calling it the Holocaust and Human Rights Center. And it's going to be basically across the street from where the Holocaust Museum is now. But, I mean, the 6th Floor Museum has to stay in that building because that's where it actually happened. So they're going to stay there. But
that makes sense.
They're building like a nice big new thing and stuff, so that'll be cool.
So I'm going to be sitting, you know, once I tell her, it's like, okay, what kind of stuff do we want to do? And then have to arrange for who's getting time off when to do stuff with her. Because we figure we'll take a couple of days off, all of us together, to go do stuff during the week. But probably the rest of the time, maybe Sarah will take off one day and I'll take off another day, just so there's a scattershot of people around to do stuff with her.
You could go to Dallas Aquarium.
Yeah. There's the Fort Worth Zoo is amazing.
Yes.
Dallas Zoo is kind of meh, but the Fort Worth Zoo is really good. Like I said, CARE. CARE is amazing.
I bet you get a kick out of CARE.
Yeah.
Especially, like, with the connection you have with CARE, like, you probably get to, maybe it'll let you get a more, not, I was going to say a more up-close look, but, like, not, like, putting your mouth in your hand in a tiger's mouth or anything, but,
yeah. I will go and pick up a couple packs of chicken that she can feed some kitties.
Oh, that'll be cool. That'll
be fun. It just sounds like, I'm buzzed because I love my sister's kids, but this is like the first one time I've been able to like steal one for more than a couple hours and go do all kinds of stuff with them. So, yeah, I'm thrilled. I'm
going to get to see my niece soon, too. Next month, I'm going out to visit my sister's family. And my niece, I'm sure, will be squeeing, but only because she's a baby.
I will say, though, that this is probably the first of potentially very... I hesitate to use expensive, but it will certainly become... There was a thing growing up where one of us, me and my sister, were not always treated equally. Like, certain uncles and such will drag generally her off, or... It was very noticeable when one was favored over the other. So that stuck in my head really clearly. So when, as my other niece and other nephew grow up, it's like I'm always super careful to make sure that I treat everybody the same and try not to favor one over the others. Kind of nervous about, you know, my nephew, because he is such an introvert. I mean, he is a huge introvert. But my middle niece, there's no such thing as strangers. There's only friends she hasn't met yet. She is a child that if you drag her through, we went to a Harry Potter fest, and she is the child that will talk to strangers and just hold conversations with anybody. She's really... energetic and just, she's not a handful in that she's a brat. She's a handful in that she is random as heck. She's a little chatterbox. She's a child you'll find standing on her head for no reason other than she wants to. I've got this great image of her. She was standing kind of bent over at a table coloring. So she's coloring. The top half is still. The bottom half, on the other hand, is like this... you've seen those displays outside, like furniture stores, the big, tall, ribbon, wavy Mr. Floppies.
Inflatable,
wiggling arm. So her top half is still, and her bottom half is just wiggling, like it's not attached to the rest of her. She's got that much energy. But she is a little ball of chaos, and I love her, but she's a little ball of chaos.
When is ACON?
June 7th, technically, through 10th.
Yep. All right. Well, dudes, we should probably wrap it up because it is now 10 p.m.
Okay.
We're going to call it for this week.
Go do podcast things at home.
Yep. You can find us on Twitter at SouthPawsCast. You can find me on Twitter at SavinDrake.
Find me on Twitter at Fuzzwolf. If you go to fuzzwolf.com, you can find links there to all my other stuff and all the company social media and all that fun stuff.
And you can find me either on Telegram or on Twitter as Chimera, KHYMAERA. That's my usual handle, despite being called Shiva in the fandom. That's the best place to find me these days.
All right, and also, if you guys want to help support the show, go to our Patreon, patreon.com/southpawscast. Get episodes early and in higher quality and with some bonus content that Buzz and I occasionally produce, which we need to totally sit down and do some of that.
Yeah, we didn't mention it, but Fuzz popped over last Friday night and we ended up just watching a movie while you were out having fun at Foix.
Yeah, we watched Tomorrowland, which Siam had seen and Shiva and I hadn't.
But you didn't record it. We need content.
We liked it.
All right. Well, on that note, good night.
And big book.